Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast, a podcast about the first place San Diego Padres. I'm joined with Travis Russell.
Hey, Tatis Jr. Who?
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, who needs him, right?
I guess that's, that's the question we all have to ask is, do we need Tatis? That's the biggest, question.
I guess so. It's come to one of those things I never thought I'd say as a Padre fan. It's more of a, we want Tatis. But really need Tatis?
I don't know. I mean, let's start there, right? I mean, today we got some news about, you know, his wrist. He can't swing a bat this week. I don't know. I don't like tracking this story. I hope he just heals and he's back. But, you know.
Well, here's what's crazy to me about this is that they can do this, whatever they're doing imaging wise, and go like, oh no, one more week. That seems so precise nowadays that I don't know, has medicine come that far where they can take a picture of his wrist and go, oh no, no, don't touch a bat for one more week?
I don't know.
It's wild.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, he really is obviously he is a $300 million asset they want to protect, but I don't know. I mean,
but like 15 years ago, you'd have just taken up the bat and like swung it around and seen how your wrist felt, and then go, "Yeah, I'm ready." And now it's like, "No, we're looking at this by the hour with imaging to see where he's at." It's wild.
Oh, I mean, you look at so many careers throughout the history of baseball that were cut short with just horrible medical technology.
That's true. It is true. I mean,
Sandy Koufax pitches for like a decade. I mean. Yep. Mickey Mantle blows out his knee, and you know, now he probably would have had a better career. It's amazing. But you know, like for the 2022 Padres, I mean, I kind of feel like if this was a sports movie, the Padres would be this team that feels dependent on Tatis. They need Tatis to be there. He is the driving force and everything, but they're learning the lesson that they have to believe in themselves. And it's working. Like, he's not a part of the 2022 Padres, and it's working out, and they're just, I don't know. It's June and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you know, we've had a lot of rough Junes on this podcast in our lives as Padres fans. And it is great to be on top of a very difficult division year in and year out. For at least right now. I mean,
yes.
Cheers. I'm drinking champagne because I'm a June champ, y'all. That's what's up.
We made it. We made it finally. And it's wild too, looking at the Dodgers who are winning right now. And I hate to always refer back to them, but it feels like there are, you know, kinks in the armor or holes we can shoot our arrows through, especially with Tatis coming back and the injuries I see them kind of having. It's a really odd time. Unfortunately, they're playing the Angels right now, or we could really be gaining on the Dodgers.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you compare ourselves to them, I mean, going into a seven game series, like I feel pretty good. I mean, if our starting pitching holds the way it is now, I mean, what are we looking at? Sean Manaea as a number three. I think that's good enough to win a title if he's your third starter series.
And you have someone like Clevinger on the back end, healthy. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they would do with Gore in a series like that or, you know.
Well, he was at the top of the league in ERA until his last outing. I mean, everyone has a bad outing. So,
but
Gore's still up there.
Yu's going deep into games, which is exciting. I hope his back holds up. I mean, he's getting up there in age. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, I don't know about, I mean, you know, you and I are in the streets and they, you know, people know us and they talk to us about Padres, like what's going on with
these
outer circle fans who are like, okay, I feel like I should get in. I should find out what's going on. I should ask the Kept Faith guys. And it's like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, let's just get through the trade deadline and not fall apart. Right. Isn't that kind of looming behind everything?
It is. And I don't want to celebrate again too early, but after a game like tonight, where we were down 5-0 and we come back and win 12-5, it's a different kind of team than we had before. But yes, we do need to get to the trade deadline. We do need to make sure that we're not doing any like back-to-back losses. I think we had one series of those in the last, you know, 2 weeks, which is pretty good. But yeah, it's interesting to see what this team does when Tatis comes back, which might be now at the trade deadline. Who knows how
I don't
much
even
longer
know,
this
like,
is going to take.
I don't know. I don't want to get killed for saying this and whatever, but like, do you have the feeling, I kind of leaning towards this where obviously, you know, we have Manny Machado having a career year and we don't want to waste that. He's not going to, you know, he's getting to the age where the arrow will probably start going down. We don't want to waste seasons like this
yes.
from him and, you know, Musgrove and all that. You know, you don't want to waste a good season like this, but, you know, if Tatis comes back, what are we getting? A and B, like, you know, he hasn't fixed his shoulder. I don't know. I'm leaning towards him just getting this. I wish he would just get the shoulder surgery and maybe just tank 2022 and just come back 2023 with a new perspective where,
oh wow,
he realizes like this can all be taken away from him. And it's, you know, it's not the gift that he has that is otherworldly. Is not going to last forever, and he has to protect it. And you know what? The Padres might be okay without him. I think that's a healthy thing for him. I think it's a healthy thing for us. And I just hope that, I don't know. The shoulder thing really does scare me. My worst case scenario is that he comes back, the wrist is fine, and then he blows his shoulder, and it's not in the same, you know, it's not in the same stratosphere as like something that is as fixable, you know? Because eventually that's going to turn, right?
Totally. And I think that's a really good point. I mean,
yeah.
I remember last year that blow up in the dugout with him and Machado was the undertones to it. What we could make out from it was him making it feel like everything was on him. You know what I mean? Like the weight of the team and the success was on him. And Machado was trying to say, no, it's not. Like, it's not about you.
Yeah,
I think this is a really nice wake-up call to say to him, it's not about you, and this team is doing really well. And a lot of fans, as much as we love you, with the way this team's playing right now, I don't know where you put Tatis. Like, with the way the defense has been and as solid it is, and it's helped the pitching so much, taking Kim away from shortstop seems like a liability almost at this point.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. He's not hitting very well, but, you know, it's –
but they're that, winning, you know, games. You know what I mean? There's a chemistry to the team right now. And it's been a pretty consistent infield in the entire season.
Well, I mean, that fight that they had last year that, you know, could not be erased from our brains is, right. You know, the context of it was him, you know, Manny was explaining to Tatis that nobody's questioning whether or not you are the most gifted athlete here. Like, everybody right. knows that. And
right.
you just need to show these guys that you go out and play every day and you just keep playing. Like, I don't know. I think that was an amazing moment. And I hope that they both grow from that. I think Manny grew from that. Obviously he's coming in this season. I mean, this is one of the greatest seasons by a San Diego Padre offensively for an everyday player. And, you know, his defense is still, you know, Manny level defense. And I don't know his performance, you know, whatever happens with his contract moving forward, if, you know, there's the, you know, when that gets resolved, you know,
he
whatever
an option, we'll, right?
Yeah. If he keeps this going for 2022, I mean, I'm going to cherish it for the rest of my life. It's one of the best seasons we've ever seen. And I think the world of the guy, and to bring this team together and, you know, the offense isn't exactly where you want it, but you know, they're just piecing together games. I mean, we saw, you know, one thing to talk about is, you know, he had a minor little, dust up with Kevin Acey from, you know, a friend of the pod.
Oh yeah, there was video on that, right?
Yeah, you know, and
like,
I think,
well, what
that,
do you mean or whatever? Yeah,
you know, Kevin's doing what Kevin does, and he's, you know, asking questions that get under the skin of players. And you know, Manny, I think Manny had a real issue with it because he doesn't like the idea of isolating one way to win a baseball game, because yes. there's different ways you can do that. And you know, he's, you know.
He's like, you know, we won the game. That's what matters.
Yeah. Like some days are, you know, I do feel like there is a more galvanized cohesion with this team that is really fun to watch. I mean, every night, you know, we have, you know, we are all living our lives, you know, with work and family and all that stuff. And then, you know, for so many Junes and Mays and Aprils, like this was just out of the question that we were going to be successful immediately. And now right. it's like a fun thing in our lives. That's like, a part of it every night. Like, okay, I get to go watch the Padres completely truck the Cubs in their house, and I expect it to happen. Like, yeah. What happened tonight? We were down by five. I checked my phone because we were about to eat dinner. They got four runs. I was like, okay, cool. I checked my phone again. We're up by five.
Yes.
And I didn't even know what happened. I'd like missed that.
It was, well, Luke Voit like crushed.
Yeah.
A 2-run home run. Crushing water bottles, as I like to say. Mm-hmm. He's just really come on strong recently. And then I think it was him again. I don't remember how they got the third one, but I think he was up again with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
And like hit a double to clear him. But yeah, I think that was it. So made it like 2-5. And then they got like loaded again, and they kept hitting and walking and hitting and walking. It was perfect small ball.
Yeah. And Sean Manaea had a bad night, which is right, fine.
Which is amazing.
But
then Darvish had the night that he had the last night, which made our bullpen like as fresh as could be. Mm-hmm. And they came in and just put up zeros. It was like the game started over after Manaea came out. And everyone has those kind of nights, you know?
Yeah, It does feel like the bullpen is kind of settling down in a way, too. Like, Chris Matt, I feel very confident in Chris Matt whenever he comes in. And I think Melvin really trusts him. It seems like he's putting him in the most important situations outside of, like, you know, Rogers. But, you know, Garcia is settling in. Stammen's settled in.
Stammen still makes me the most nervous.
But he gets people out. I mean, his ERA is not too bad.
He does, but every once in a while, someone's getting a dong off him. It's just going to happen. And then,
But, you know, then that
makes me a little nervous. And then, why am I blinking right now?
Suarez makes me a little nervous usually. And Tim Hill makes me nervous. Hopefully when Pomerantz comes back and a few other guys come back, that he's not as big of an option. It sounds like there's going to be some guys coming up that will relieve Tim Hill from coming in, but
we'll take priority over Mr. Hill. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing to talk about is also we had a rough stretch where the Padres lost a lot of, since last recorded, they had a little bit of a rough stretch for a while. And that was all stopped by when Joe Musgrove came in and pitched just an amazing game. He almost had the Polaroid shot. Yeah. Well, almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's still statistically he's been the best pitcher in the National League. I think that's right.
I mean, that's true. Still,
yeah. So, I mean, if the All-Star game happened today, he'd be the starter. This brings up a big conversation about, you know, how much is he going to get paid? What will happen with that? You know, I that's going to be an interesting one. I mean, you know, for somebody like that, who's, you know, edging up towards 30, can he afford to take less money to be a San Diego Padre? I don't think we have no evidence that the Padres are really going to try to shortchange him in that way, but you know, there is something that, because of him being local and what he means to the community, you know, I don't know. How do you think this plays out when it actually comes to a head? Cause it's already, every time he pitches well, it becomes a conversation. It becomes part of the conversation. What are the Padres going to do? I mean,
yeah, it's a very weird thing. Cause I know there's already been a few, you know, numbers thrown back and forth. Uh-huh. And I don't think they're anywhere close to where they want, where the deal will get done. But I think he's already, and this might be blasphemous, and take it for what it is.
We could talk about it.
But with him doing what he did, he's up there with like Tony Gwynn already. Like it's very weird going to parts of the community and hearing other people talk about him. You know what I mean? It is like he almost has deity status at this point. And so the Padres have got to play this really well. I mean, the community knows his family now. Everyone knows about the coffee shop. You know what I mean? It is already like, it's like, and I can say this because on a personal level, I've done a lot of family business. It already feels like they've crossed that boundary in some way, to where the fans show up when they spend the money. That's pretty obvious. I mean, you can't tell me with the way they're selling tickets that they're at least not doing
Money.
Do you know what I mean? Like, with all their spending.
I get it.
They cannot mess this up. I want to read a statistic. I think I already sent it to you guys on, but it's he's putting up numbers that are not just like Padres significant, but baseball significant. Yeah. Joe Musgrove of the Padres is the only major league pitcher to go 7-0 or better with an ERA of 1.5 or lower and 70 plus strikeouts or his first 11 appearances of a season since the ERA became official stat in 1913. I mean, that's, you get the team's first no-no, and then you back it up with a season that is like never been done before.
I mean, yeah, I think the question that the Padres front office is asking and I'm asking, you know, he is hitting the point where, you know, for a lot of starting pitchers, the arrow starts going down. Are you going to be locked in? Is he going to get $220 million for 7 years? And then you're paying Joe Musgrove for in his 35, 36 season to throw 89 miles an hour. I don't know. I think he's going to age pretty well just because he's a big kid and he doesn't seem like his delivery is very taxing on him. Like other pitchers that like Nelson Lamet, where it's like, he's throwing all these sliders and it's dangerous. You know, I'm not too worried about him, but you know, remember James Shields at 34? I mean, what are you going to do?
I grew up with the guy. So he's only 29. I was going to say, I'm losing track of time, so I don't know how old he is.
Is this the best season he's ever, is this the peak? Is this the apex? And are you paying, are then you going to pay a lot of money for
how past old is, what's his name that the Yankees just signed? See, Garrett, that's where Cole. I got to get my head around Cole.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to. I mean,
Cole was in his early 30s when they signed him to some crazy money, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the best thing, Trevor Bauer is not a name that I like talking about on this podcast, but
yes,
you know, he did sign that $100 million for like 3 years. That's what we want. But he's crazy and didn't want a long-term contract. So
yeah, I think the Padres could easily get away with like a 5-year 120 deal.
I think he's going to want a longer.
And then like the family's coffee shop in Petco.
He's going to want a longer deal. And if he's going to get like in the 30, you know, if he wins the Cy Young and they go deep into the playoffs and he has an iconic.
Well, see, that's the whole thing too. Like if you're Joe right now and you're doing this, I go win a World Series for the Padres this year. And then they pay me whatever. Cause that's how like Cole did it. That's how these guys get these big numbers, is they win a World Series for somebody and then they're set. Like that's what anyone wants. It happened for, why am I blanking on everyone's name right now? I'm so tired. Two Eyes, who went to the Dodgers.
You mean he won it
for the Nationals? No.
What
I'm saying is like these older pitchers get the big money after they win a World Series.
So I know. And that's
Joe could get the money. He could, if he doesn't talk about it for the rest of the year and he wins in the offseason this year, the sky is the limit on the money that they have to pay him.
I'm guessing what I'm questioning too, and it's a position that it's pretty unique for us as Padres fans, because we spent so much of our time on this podcast and as you know, in our lives, wanting the Padres to spend more money. They finally do it. And now I'm questioning whether or not, you know, is it responsible for us as fans to pressure the Padres to put money up for something this emotional? Like this, we have an emotional attachment to this person and he's good and he's good now and he's from here. And that, I don't know. Are we going to pressure them into doing something that is ultimately bad for the franchise? Is he going to be like 33 years old throwing 80, 91? And we're like,
I mean, look at Hosmer. Cause look at what we gave him past his prime. He's a clubhouse guy, which from what I hear, you know, from Annie and everyone else in the clubhouse, is like Musgrove is the clubhouse. He's the guy that came up with the Polaroid idea. You know what I mean? Like he is the mature guy in the room, the adult in the room. And so I don't know. That's also a factor in all this. It's a really good question. But yes, we in San Diego love the San Diego
the story
and the guys that stay in San Diego because it's San Diego. I know
and I you know he's a you know it's hard to say don't sign a great pitcher that you already have that is a proven guy for you, you know. And I don't know, that conversation about, you know, whether or not, you know, how much money he's going to get, pay that man his money, you know, like, yeah, but there's a long history of, in baseball of that not working out. Go ask the Angels about paying Albert Pujols for what he did for the Cardinals. Go ask, you know, go ask the Diamondbacks who are paying Madison Bumgarner for what he did for the Giants and so on and so on. It's like, you don't want to be in this position, and there's no evidence of him falling off, but you know, it's just once you get into the 30s with these guys with pitchers and you're throwing around $30 million a year, and he deserves it because he has built his career in this way. And you know, if somebody he can get it on the open market, good for him. And he's a great person. He's seems like a great guy, and he's done a lot for the community. It's like, I wonder, like, if we should participate in that in a way where it's like, well, you have to sign them. You just have to. If they don't, it's a death nail. It's going to cause riots
in the city. Yeah.
It's just tough to make these kinds of deals and make these kinds of front office decisions with this kind of emotional attachment to it. This is so unique. Like, there's no other person on the roster, even Tatis. It's like,
yeah, no, it's true.
It's an added layer that is really difficult. And, you know, I think Preller, if you asked him and you gave him the truth serum, he'd be like, yeah, I don't know if I want to go that far. I don't know if I want to be committed to a 36-year-old or a 35-year-old pitcher. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting question. And I think it comes down to the how we do in the postseason. If we do well in the postseason, Musgrove pretty much gets to name his price. And I'm not even saying that as the Padres would be in competition with other teams, would they not?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. He's putting up numbers to where other teams are not just going to be like, oh, it's just a San Diego thing. And then on that topic, I would love to know if there's any research that's been done about players that go to their hometowns and whether it works out positively or negatively. My assumption is it would work out more negatively than positively, but the fact that it's worked out so well and he's handled the pressure of being at home. I don't know. It's a very intriguing thing to where if he can keep the focus and, you know, a lot of guys, in fact, I'm thinking of myself. Okay. And I think I have a pretty good character. I'm a pretty trustworthy guy. But if I got paid a lot of money to live in San Diego, my hometown, where I had all my friends and all, there's so much temptation just to be like, to phone it in, right? When I get to the game, but it seems like Joe has this, like, no, I'm taking this more serious.
He pitches with a responsibility.
Yes.
Like, you know, and that's exciting. The exact
opposite of that kind of thing.
No shots at him.
This is my job to win for San Diego.
Oh, I know. And you feel that. I think people feel that when he's on the mound. And that's really touching and exciting, really, because he is the best pitcher in the National League right now, it seems like. And
I don't know if I can get as serious about anything in my life. I want to be, but I'm just not that serious about stuff as he is about winning those games when he's on the mound. It's awesome to watch.
Well, I mean, I think it's really a reflection of how far this franchise has come. I mean, when you go back to the Adrian Gonzalez thing, where he's a local kid, he says that he wants to be here. And, you know, we were at a place in the franchise where it was just kind of like, he has made himself a top tier free agent. He deserves to make $150 million in a market that matters.
Right.
And we all kind of like understood it in a way, like, obviously we're not going to pay him. He can go, but now everything's flipped where we are a top spending team. We are a team that will get into the mix with some of these, you know, we'll throw around real money. They've proven it. We can't, you know, we can't question that anymore. It's a totally different thing now. And, you know, he's at the similar age where it's like, he's built this career to the point where he really needs to cash in. This is his livelihood. This is something that he's been working for his entire life. And if somebody wants to pay him significantly more, like, I mean, I don't know. I can't fault them for anybody for doing that, but you know, it's fascinating. I think it's just, it's a weird position for pod. It's a new position for Padres. New position to be in. You know,
we're not, like, not used to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, good point. A really good point.
I hope it works out. I hope he's, you know, the opening day starter next year. And it's, you know, Mackenzie Gore is pitching in on Tony Gwynn opening day. And it's, you know, just this beautiful thing.
But, oh my gosh. Rick, you're trying to paint utopia here. Come on.
Yeah. 2023. That's what I'm focused on.
But, oh my goodness. I mean, I'm again, it's June, mid June, but I'm very hopeful for this year. I know. It feels like there's a lot less, we're not worried about like lament and, you know, these kind of guys anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more wheels that could come off instead of like, you know, a trailer with just on the back. We got like a three wheel trailer. So let two of the wheels pop off and we're still good to go. I don't know. It feels different. It feels like a lot less can go wrong. And then again, coming back to this Bob Melvin thing, even just the fact he's got COVID protocol or whatever now, but like just his presence makes it feel like it's not going to spiral. What did we have last year? Like a 10 game losing streak.
Yeah, I mean,
crazy stuff. Yeah. August, it just doesn't September. Feel like that's plausible this year.
Yeah. But, I mean, I look at games, I see games that are close and I remember feeling like, oh, we're going to blow this. Mm-hmm. Or we're just going to blow. I just don't feel that way anymore. And it's exciting. You know, you know what you're saying about like, you know, for so long, our starting rotation was filled with guys that were kind of projects. Like we're not waiting to find out if Chris Paddock is going to figure it out. You know,
right.
we're not hoping for Weathers to figure it out, although he's back, you know, which is cool. But, yeah, it's like Weathers and Gore might get some starts here and there, but it's like, when Nick Martinez comes into a game or he starts a game, it's not like we're spending all this time trying to decipher whether or not he is putting something together. Like he's a fully formed product and you know, he's not a top tier guy, but he's a guy who can pitch in the major leagues and that's what he's going to do. And it's, I think that's really refreshing, especially with the starting rotation. I like the having these younger player, you know, these projects kind of in the bullpen, and Mackenzie Gore just came in and just, I mean, what do you think of it? Have you seen him live yet? Have you been to a game with him yet or
not live? No.
Yeah.
No, but I've been watching him. He's
dynamite. Aggressive, man. Yes. He's really like, he goes after these guys and he's not afraid. He has four pitches that seem to, you know, he can do anything with. And it's really a great story because we were on the ropes with him for a while. I mean, it was getting dark there for a second when he went back to the training site and
complete 180 from
It's all.
Remember when he signed him? I was at the game where he threw out the first pitch. It was like it was so joyous. It was so amazing. And then his whole minor league career was like, yeah, he's progressing like he should. Nothing exciting. And then it took a dip for the worst. And then all of a sudden he's up and. I don't know if his body, like something happened physically or whatnot, but he looks great.
Well, from what we heard, I think Mark Wilkins talked about this last time he was on, but you know, he kind of just went to what's cool about it is that not only is he good and exactly what, you know, we thought he was going to be as a number three pick. And, you know, he became, I think he was a top prospect in baseball for a while or top five.
Yes.
The idea that the Padres could actually pinpoint a problem, take him to a developmental site and actually fix it or, you know, at least help him fix it himself. You know, I needed to see that, you know, I think for every baseball fan, when they're looking at their team, they also have
organization.
They evaluate whether or not they can actually develop players. And I think it's,
and not, you know, break that, them. The Padres had a little history there for a while of,
they needed to win. Players, I think actually. They needed to win. Yeah. I think they needed, this is the first guy. I mean, I guess Weathers is in this group too, but you know, Weathers and him are guys that we drafted, developed, and put into the league. And they're, you know, hopefully Weathers, you know, has a pretty good run here when he comes back.
Right? Did he
pitch tonight? I didn't see that. He didn't pitch tonight. He pitches tomorrow, I think. He's up though. He's coming up, and you know, it's, yeah, that's exciting though when your team actually does what they're supposed to do what the system of baseball is designed to do is to, like, you choose a guy, you make him into what, you know, he's supposed to be, and then you get results at the top level. And Mackenzie Gore, I mean, is he going to start a playoff game? I don't know. I mean,
I would start him if it was this, coming up in a few weeks. He'd definitely be on the 1-2-3-4 punch.
So you've been to some games, right? You've been to a couple games, and what's the vibe? I haven't been to a game yet, so I shouldn't even
vibe. The vibe is awesome. It's really, people are there to have a good time. People are paying attention to the game more.
Does it feel like a more focused crowd where it's like people are really invested? It's not just
there's so much brown and gold.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. Yeah. I mean, it does still feel like a bar somewhat, but,
you can tell when you're in
a little more expensive. So I think people might be doing two drinks instead of three. I don't know.
I mean, you can tell at a sporting event when a crowd is like locked in and really invested in the game. You can tell.
Yes. I think I've been to two or three games this year. And one night we sat out in the right field bleacher area, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It felt like back at the Jack Murphy days, sitting in the outfield, razzing the outfielders and stuff. It was a good time. Took all my girls and we had a blast. So, the ballpark is definitely worth going down to. If you can figure out parking and the homeless issue, other than that, it is quite the experience.
It's a lot of
there's this weird, and I hate to bring this up, but I can't help it. There's this, depending on who you drive into the game, I'm sure, but there is like 5-6 blocks of just like total depression.
It is,
and you feel like you know, the wealthy stepping over the peasants going into
a really
awful feeling. And I like don't ever remember this feeling going to Padre games before. But yeah, that is a real bummer in going to the game. But other than that, the ballpark has never been better. The food they finally got the hot dogs.
They got the hot dogs. Yes. That's the turn. That's
took,
the key.
It honestly took like this entire ownership. Their entire, that was the one thing they could not figure out until recently, were those dang hot dogs.
I remember when Petco first opened, I mean, it was like the food was just a disaster.
Disaster. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait to go again.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, I think the community just deserves it, and it's time. It's been time for a long time. We built the damn thing in like 2004, or opened it in 2004.
That's so,
it feels
wild.
Like it's really come together. And, you know, they, I don't know, it's such a weird position for us. Like they put their money up and it's working.
And it's working right now. And yeah, the team has something going on that's fun to be around.
Yeah. One last thing we should talk about. I just want to take a victory lap. I don't know. Whatever.
Yes, but, do it, Nick. In this life, take as many as
really,
can get few.
I am really enjoying the Esteri Ruiz mania that's happening.
You deserve a victory lap on this. You had the right call.
I listened to David Jay on our podcast, and I said, like, I decided I'm going to adopt him as a prospect. And me and Esteri had some rough years. I didn't know if it was going to happen, but it sounds like, you know, he's up in El Paso and he's killing it. And him and Abrams.
He had a ball on that. I just saw him hit it. He's not like, he's still like a wiry looking guy, and he crushed one and he makes catches that are insane.
Just more people to trade, more assets. That's all we need. It's just, you know,
wild.
Can come up, and I guess he's playing outfield now, so that's
good. So I saw him make a catch in center field that was just like, holy cow.
Well, I don't know if the Trent Grisham thing's gonna work out, so anybody
he's come on
job.
Recently
is it
he's,
yeah it's true.
I mean, last 2 weeks you can't hate on Grish, but
yeah,
he can't have a month like that again. That's not acceptable,
man. Yeah, no. Well, he's so much, I thought, you know, with this core group, he was such a, I don't know, when he's feeling it and he's doing, and he's having a great, you know, a great time at the plate. Like,
yeah, bat flipping and pointing at
his
people.
Swagger. Yeah. I love
swagger.
You know, I like Profar as the leadoff guy, but I remember when Trent is really clicking, it's, there's something extra about that. I love it.
Okay. Yeah. His showboating or whatever on the outfield too, the way he catches, it's just so,
he's talented.
It's everything my grandfather like drove crazy about the game.
He's a really talented.
It's fun
player.
To watch.
I hope that, you know, that Padres don't just give up on him and he just goes and becomes a star for like
Mashes somewhere else. Yeah.
The Mariners or something. But yeah, man, Esteri Ruiz, we were on it first.
Congratulations.
We need to isolate the audio for that. And
yeah, we do
really take a victory lap on that. So
I love it.
Cool, man. Yeah, let's check in again. You know, I'll try to get somebody on and, you know, let's talk about it.
We pulled away from the Dodgers comfortably when we have a nice 4 or 5 game lead on them.
I don't know. I don't want to engage too much in like all-star gripes, but you know, that's coming up.
It's going to happen.
We got to see who's in that. And yeah, man, the first half is just going really well. It's a part of my life. I check in on it every night. I watch games and you know, 39 times I've been really happy. And
yeah,
I
brought us much joy. Totally.
Yeah. All right, dude. Well, we'll get back with you maybe next week or week after, something like that. But yeah, the Padres, you know, I feel like almost like our work is done, you know, that we got them to first place. I don't even know when, you know.
Our work will be done, Nick, when we win the World Series. We need this in our life.
At the parade.
We are fully grown then now. Yes, this is our time.
It is. It is our time. It's been our time.
Yes.
So. All right, man. Well, check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Geekster had a cool article that she just posted on the website about Father's Day. She did some really cool profiles on that. Check out the Last Week in Faith that Ghost of Ray Kroc and Haiku and Dallas and I are kind of putting together every week. It's basically what we were doing with The Hangover, just a weekly recap instead of a series by series recap. So that's out every Monday, and keep the faith.
Because
it's working. We've been doing it. We have the faith. We keep the faith, and it's working. So let's keep working. All right.
Go Padres.
Go Padres. Bye.